Okay, we are today chazering the Drusha Asiri, 10th Drusha in the Drusha Saran, to Parshas Ekev. So the Pasuk starts off, Ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Lokecha Shom Yimachkim Liyuras Hashem Lokecha Lalechas B'chol Derecha B'le'avo. So, Jewish people, what does Hashem ask from you? Just to be in awe of Hashem, to go in His ways, Lava also, to love God, Lava to Hashem Lokecha B'chol Avavcha B'chol Navshcha, to serve God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep all His mitzvos, etc. So, most of the drasha is going to be explaining that pasuk. Okay, so the round starts off that the way this pasuk fits with the pasukim beforehand is that the pasukim beforehand say the following: a person should not say kochi votzim yad yasuli asachayelase. Right, a person shouldn't say that when they succeed, it was my great self who made me succeed. My great business acumen, that's what made me succeed. Now the Ron says, it's not because your business acumen didn't make you succeed. There are people who are smart, or who have natural street smarts, or you may have succeeded in life because of your natural abilities. You may have been born with business acumen, but no, where'd that business acumen come from? Your own? God gave it to you. So whatever success you have, even if it is because of your natural abilities, understand God gave you those natural abilities. So you should never say that it happened from me, it always happened from Hashem. And then, the psukim continue that you will, when you conquer, go to conquer Israel, you'll see that there are big, very strong nations. So therefore, this will not be a problem for you. This won't be an assignment for you to say, "Kochi votzim yad yisachayel zeh." When you're going to conquer the nations in Israel, you're not going to be able to say, "Oh, it's because I was stronger than them. My strength helped me win." Because you know they're way stronger than you. It's going to be obvious. It's because Hashem helped you. So this is not going to be a problem for you. What is going to be a problem for you is you're going to think, "Betzidkasi." You're going to think it's because I'm such a tzaddik. That's why God made miracles for me to conquer these goyim, because I am a tzaddik and they are rishayim. So that's why I succeeded. So Hashem says, don't say that either. It's not because you're such tzaddikim that Hashem is helping you succeed and conquer them. Rather, it's because they're such rishayim that Hashem is letting you win over them. Okay. So then it says, V'ata ma'ashem lekecha shol mimach ki'im liyira, which means, what does Hashem ask from you? Only to be, fear Him. So what does He mean with, what does Hashem ask you? Ask from you. So the Ran says, this is similar to the Navi that the Ran has quoted many times, where it says, Bama Kadem, that when a person's coming to do tshuva, so, you know, what do you need to do to successfully get repentance and do tshuva? You would think you need to bring 1,000 karbanos, sacrifice your firstborn, everything. Because, you know, if you don't listen to your older brother, say, that's a little bit, you know, rough. If you don't listen to your parents, that's a little worse. If you don't listen to your, I don't know what, president, whatever the case is, the higher up the chain you go, the bigger deal it is that you didn't listen. So when you're talking about Hashem, that's as high as it goes. So to sin and not listen to Hashem, you would think that's, you know, need infinite atonement, things to atone. So Hashem says, I don't ask for infinite. You don't need to bring me 1,000 karbanos and sacrifice your firstborn. All that He's asking you to do is to do the mitzvos, follow, do tshuva, and follow what Hashem says. So, now the Ran explains that any punishments we get in this world, any yisurin that we get in this world, we don't get punished for punishment's sake. We get punished to correct our behavior. And the pasuk says, "Ki kasher yaser ish," like a father will afflict spino, like a father punishes his son, so to Hashem punishes you. What does that mean? What is that story supposed to show? The father son. So the Ran explains that a father never punishes their son commensurate to the crime. In other words, if a son goes out and shoots someone, the father doesn't punish the son by shooting them, right? That's something the police do or the judge does, not a father. Father's never going to shoot his kid, no matter what the kid does. So that's number one, that the punishment we get never is not as great as the crime should require. And besides that, Hashem doesn't give us the full punishment that might be deserving, that we might deserve. Secondly, the purpose of punishment when a father punishes a son is, again, not for punishment's sake, but to correct the child's behavior, such that if the father would see the son doing something bad, and the father sees that the son regrets what he did, regrets the sin that he did, the thing he shouldn't have done, and the father sees he's really upset that he did that and he'll never ever do it again, the father can skip the punishment because there's no point anymore. The son already got the message, knows on his own not to do it, and the father's confident the kid will never do it again, then there's no point in the punishment. So too, Hashem only punishes us in this world, at least, to correct our behavior. And therefore, if a person does full tshuva and will never do it again, then the punishment is not necessary. And that which we say Hashem is has keil kana, Hashem is vengeful, that's not, you know, kina is a bad thing. That's why the Torah forbids it. When we say it with Hashem, it's only in its good sense, in that Hashem acts vengeful so that we don't do bad again, so it keeps us on the straight and narrow, but not for its own sake. So the Rad explains that's the way punishment works in this world. It's all to correct either you yourself, or if you are beyond help, when people see, other people see you being punished and they know you're a sinner, it at least helps them that they don't sin. So that's the purpose of punishment in this world, is to correct the behavior of people. But in the next world, obviously that doesn't apply, because in the next world, no one can be corrected. They're already dead. Whatever they did, and that's what they are. So the next world, punishment is not to correct your behavior. Rather, punishment in the next world, the Ron explains, is just a natural consequence of sin. It's not a punishment, it's just a fact. Just like when a person chops off their hand, it's not a punishment that it hurt when they took the sword and chopped off their hand. That's just a natural consequence of what happens when a blade cuts off someone's hand. So sin destroys the soul. It's not a punishment, it's just a fact. Sin destroys the soul and it's painful. So that's how the Ron explains the people, for example, who go to Gehenna and don't come back out. Right? They stay there forever. The real evil people. They stay in Gehenna forever and ever. That's not a punishment. That's the natural consequence of sin. It destroys the soul. So that's how the Ron explains punishment in the next world. And he says, look, the people go to Gehenna, people are punished downstairs for a temporary amount of time, like we assume most Yidden are, right, up to 12 months. So that serves both purposes, that the punishment they receive in Gehenna at that time is a consequence of sin. Plus, besides that, it also helps to cleanse them, in that it allows them to get into Olam Haba, so it has a corrective effect. Plus, it's also the natural consequence of sin. Okay, now, getting back to this pasuk, what does Hashem ask from you? So, the Ran asks three major questions on this pasuk. Here they are. Question number one, the Torah says, Moshe is asking him, what does Hashem ask from you, Jewish people? Just to be in awe of Hashem, and to do all his mitzvos, and to love him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's not a small thing. When you say, what does Hashem ask from you? Just this. It makes it sound like it's not a big deal. Now, we already said, to get atonement, you should have to bring a lot. But this is also talking about doing the mitzvot in general. What does Hashem ask from you? Like, this is a small thing? This is a huge thing. Only Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, super holy people reach this level of serving Hashem, being in awe of Hashem, loving them with all their heart and their whole soul, following all the mitzvot. It's a very high level. So what does it mean, what does Hashem ask from you? It's a very tall order. And the Gemara actually asked this and says, is this such a small deal to be in awe of Hashem? And the Gemara answers, well, for Moshe it was easy. That's why Moshe said it. Well, so the Ron asks, how does that explain the question? That Moshe knew he was talking to others who were not on that level. So what did he mean? What's the big deal? It's a huge deal. Secondly, the Torah then goes on to list, what does Hashem ask from you? Just be in awe of Hashem. And I'm not talking to your children who didn't see the punishments God meted out. I'm talking to you. You saw all the punishments God meted out. So the Ron says, what does that have to do with anything? You're telling us, Moshe saying, be in awe of Hashem, and then saying, look at all the people that Hashem punished who didn't listen to him. Okay, so when you said yira, what kind of yira did you mean? Did you mean fear of punishment, or did you mean awe? So the Ron says, of course it means awe. A fear of punishment is considered serving God shalom lishma, not for its the right reasons. And this pasuk that says you should love God with all your heart and all your soul and go in all his ways, so it's talking about a very high level. So the yira that we must be talking about is not that low level of only doing mitzvos lest you get punished, but it means doing mitzvos because you're in awe of God. And if that's the case, then the psukim should have said, you guys saw God giving the Torah on Sinai. You saw the fire, the whole mountain, the smoke, and the shofar, and the lightning, and the thunder. You saw all that. So that would make you in awe of God. That's what you would think the pasuk should say. Be in awe of God, and after all, you saw Maimon Har Sinai. That's not what it says, though. It says, you should be in awe of God because look at all the people that God punished physically. So how does that lead us to Yiras Harom, most awe of Hashem? And the last question is that the Torah goes on to say that in the list of people who got punished, it says, and look what happened to Dathan and Aviram. They were swallowed up when they fought against Moshe. And it leaves out the obvious person, the main protagonist, Korach. Doesn't say, look at what happened, at least Korach and Dathan and Aviram, what happened to them. It just says, look what happened to Dathan and Aviram. It left out Korach. It's a little strange. Why did it leave out Korach when it mentioned that story? Okay. Those are the three questions. The answer. Okay, so the Ran's answer is that really, Yiras Hashem, being in awe of Hashem, is actually very easy. The thing is, every human being has two parts to them. There's the part that is the neshama, the higher level, our higher selves, and our lower selves. Our higher selves naturally want to connect to God, right? We understand, if you think about God's greatness and how He created the universe and every single thing that exists, God created, and He knows our thoughts. We want to, a person naturally, the higher part of ourselves wants to connect to the Hashem, the greatest of all, right? The higher, Hashem, want to connect to Hashem, because God is so great. And that is actually natural to us when we're not being dragged down by the other part of us. There's the physical part of us that just is interested in eating ice cream. That's the physical part of the human being, and that dulls the spiritual side. But whenever we're in a status where the physical side of us is toned down for whatever reason it may be, it's then easy to want to connect to Hashem, like the famous example, like by Ne'ilah, like on the, you know, on Yom Kippur, at the end of Yom Kippur, during Ne'ilah. So then we're more in a spiritual zone. It seems easy to be in awe of Hashem and to follow the mitzvahs. Because there's a part of ourselves that's natural to connect to Hashem. It's just the low part of us that brings us down. So in that sense, it's easy. That's it. When it says, when Moshe is saying, what does Hashem ask from you, just to be in awe of Hashem, it means there's a part of us that is very easy for. Okay. And not only that, the brain, the soul, the seichel, as the Ran calls it, understands that whatever the Torah says is better for our neshama. And you would want to do that anyway, forgetting being in awe of Hashem. You know, just it's good for you. If the Torah tells us it must be best, if the Torah tells us to do it, it must be the thing that's best for our souls. Besides the fact that you want to do what, if the Ran gives an example, if you knew of someone who was very wise and transcendent and an incredible person, you would of course want to do, you know, connect to them and have a connection to them and do what they want, so you could, you know, be in their circle, in their sphere. So certainly Hashem. So even if it was neutral to our soul, we want to do what God says to do because we want to be connected to God. Anyway, so again, the reason why it isn't easy for us is because that is that other part of us, which the Ran calls dimyon, which is, you know, and our body, our physical body is more connected to that than the soul, than the seichel, than the brain. We're more connected to our lower parts than our part of ourselves, than our higher parts. And that explains the reason that is because we're born without seichel, right? We're born little babies. Little babies are born with desires. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're tired, right? We're born with the body that has desires. And we don't get a thinking brain until we're around 13. That's when you become a bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. That age is when the person's brain starts to mature a little bit. Obviously, it's not talking about at 13, you're not a full adult, but that's when your brain, you know, that idea, the higher level of thinking kicks in at around 13 when your brain starts thinking a little more independently. So that's the point where your seichel can kick in. But the problem is that the first 13 years of your life, you haven't been interested in anything like that, and you've been just together with your desires, your bodily desires. So that's the problem. So that's what makes it very hard for us. And the Ran says it's similar to a kingdom where they're used to a tyrant or some kind of bad government, and then a new government comes over and makes things better, but people don't appreciate it because They're just used to, they've done things one way for their whole lives, and now this new government comes in. Yeah, it's a little bit better, but they just don't appreciate it because it's new. They're not used to it. So same thing with us. We're used to being involved with our body, and then the soul comes in second. So it's hard to get that to be in charge. So that's why it's hard. And the Ran also says that when Chazal tell us, Ziknei Am Ha'aretz, the older they get, Daitin Muturefes Aleihen, right? So the old people who are people who didn't learn Torah, the older they get, it says Daitin Muturefes Aleihen, their mind is, it's a tumult, their mind is not at rest, they're not at peace. However, Ziknei HaTorah, Daitin Misyasheves Aleihen, the older people, Talmidei Chachamim, people who have learned Torah, the older they get, so then their mind is at peace. So the Ran says, that's what it says. It says, Daitan Misyasheves Aleihen, their mind is calm. See, the Ran says, doesn't say they get smarter as they get older, which a quick reading of it might make you think is what it means. Doesn't say that old Talmidei Chachamim get smarter. Daitan Misyasheves doesn't mean smarter, because the Ran says, people as they get older, sometimes, their brain isn't working, their physical brain doesn't work as well, and they don't necessarily get smarter. They may lose some of their mind or brain knowledge. But what it means is that they're at peace. And why are they at peace? So the Ran explains, because when a person's old, so the lower part of themselves is weakened, right? They don't have the same desires that they used to, and they see a little bit more what's important in life and what's not important in life. And then, so the people who followed the Torah in their youth, who learned Torah in their youth, so then they're calm because they're happy. They're so happy. When they were young, their mind wasn't calm because as much as they followed the Torah and they learned Torah, but there was a part of them, a part of every youth, that wants to do other things, doesn't want to be learning Torah, wants to be doing something else. The physical part of them. And they conquered that and learned then. But at the time, their mind wasn't fully at peace because they were a little bit at war with their body. Now that they're old and they don't have desires, so now they're happy with what happened in their youth. They're glad they conquered the Yetzer Hara then, and things are at peace now. As opposed to the Rasha, who spent his mind was at peace in the sense that he followed his Yetzer Hara, and that seemed like a good idea, and this world seemed very important when he was younger. Now when the person gets older, they see, oh, this world's maybe not all that important, and this world is leaving the person. They see maybe that what they know that that wasn't really the choices they made in their youth were not the right choices for their ultimate soul. And then, but they're so used to acting a certain way, if someone's Amar, it's a whole life, it's very hard to wake up at in a very older age and completely turn your life around. It's possible, but it's very difficult. So since most of them don't, so the older they get, their mind is at war because they can't, they're too old to switch their lives, but they're not at peace because they know what they had done till then was a bad idea. Okay, so as a person gets older, they get weaker, or if a person sees tragedy, so their physical side is weaker, and then it becomes easier to serve God. Therefore, the reason why the Psukim, this answers the second question, right? We answered the first question, why does it say it's easy for you? What's Hashem ask? Because there's a part of us that it is easy for. So the Ran had explained, so what's the part? Why aren't we all great tzaddikim if it's natural to our soul, to our mind, to want to connect to God and follow Him? Why is it we don't? So it's because our physical side. So that's why the Psukim continue and say, you remember you saw all those terrible punishments and tragedies that happened to all those people? You've seen tragedy. So that usually, when that weakens the physical side of a person. They're not, when a person can be all into their desires and then they, if they find out some terrible news, that switches things in their minds. That's what Hashem is saying. Moshe is saying, you saw all the terrible things that happened to people. You saw God's, the punishment God meted out on people. So that weakens the physical part of the person that holds them back from doing mitzvos when they see tragedy. And once that's been put at base, and now it is easier for you because now your soul can take charge and do mitzvos. To answer the last question, why doesn't it mention Korach, right? It says, look at all the terrible tragedies that happened to people who didn't follow the Torah, and look at what happened to Dasan and Avirim, who got swallowed up. And it does not say, look at Korach. So the Ran explains, because a lot of people, when they're dishonest and who are dishonest in business, they do it not just because they want money, they want to have money for their kids. They want to be able to give their kids, the Ran says, great palaces and things. So they steal the money, and half the time, by the time they would be bequeathing things to their kids, they end up losing the money, and all they have for themselves is the sin. So the Ran says, that's the pshat in the pasuk, that lo sa'achir l'shamo, the Ran says. If a person makes a neder, swears that they're going to give a donation of a carbon, let's say, to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, lo sa'achir l'shamo, do not delay in giving that donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Ki deroshi dirshenu Hashem, because Hashem Elokech, Hashem will be derish it from you. Hashem will go ask it from you. So the Ran says what it means is, if you think lo sa'achir l'shamo, don't delay giving that carbon to the Beis HaMikdash in the hopes that the person in charge of the Beis HaMikdash will forget about it and you'll get away with it because you became greedy after you had made, and maybe you were in a holy state and you decided to donate a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and then later on you change your mind, you need the money, and you're hoping that the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash forgets he said anything. So that's what he says the pasuk means, don't delay in bringing it, because Hashem will go after that money from you. If you're holding on to the money when you shouldn't be, Hashem will take it from you. Anyway, so that's what he says, that the reason the pasuk does not mention Korach is because Korach's children were not wiped out. And this, a lot of times people are dishonest in the business because they need money for their kids. So Hashem, or Moshe, is saying, look what happened to all those people who got destroyed, and Dustin and Aviram, their whole family got wiped out. So you shouldn't be so interested in, you know, saving money for your kids, because if you're doing it dishonestly, who knows whether your kids will be around. You know, sin can destroy. Therefore, don't look after the physical things, look after mitzvos. The Ran goes on to say what the pasuk says, Ve'isir Hashem yimcha kol choli, that Hashem will remove from you all sickness. V'chol madvei Mitzrayim lo yasim alech, and all the diseases of Egypt Hashem will not place on you. So the Ran says that there's two types of sicknesses. There's the type of sickness that is natural, like a cold or a virus. So that, it says, that's almost like a person has it, or like it's part of the human condition, colds and viruses. So when Hashem says, the first part of the pasuk is Vehesir Hashem Mimcha Kol Choli, Hashem will remove all sickness, it refers to those type of sicknesses, like colds and viruses, because Hashem has to remove them, meaning they're normal to the human condition. So those Hashem needs to remove. But Kol Madvei Mitzrayim, but all the terrible plagues that happened to the Egyptians, Lo Yosim, Hashem will not place on you. If you do the mitzvos, Hashem will not place on you those plagues. And again, those are not normal sicknesses, so those need to be placed on a person. Hashem won't place them on you. So the Ran is saying all this because he was living in the time of a plague. And the Ran says, we see this terrible plague that was going on in his days that killed so many people. So therefore, for us, the Ran is telling his, whoever he was talking to, giving the drasha to, for us, who we've seen this terrible plague, for us it's easy to do tshuva because we see all the destruction going on around us. So we've taken the mussar, we can take mussar easily and leave our physical desires behind and do mitzvos instead. Okay, so the Ran says, now he said the purpose of Yisurin, the purpose of punishments, is to get a person away from their physical side. So the Ran explains that this is why you would want them in this world. In other words, Chazal say many times that a person is very lucky if they get punished in this world. Like tzaddikim get punished in this world. So the Ran says, why would you want to get punished in this world? If you have a chance, if someone tells you, okay, I have to, you know, chop off your arm, I could do it today or in a year from now. How many people would say, oh, I'll do it today, might as well get it over with. Why? I'd rather have it for another year. Let's do it next year. So the Ran says, why is it the Gemara, the Chazal always say it's so great to have punishments in this world, Yisurin in this world, why not wait till later? And if the Ran says, if you'll tell me, because the Yisurin in the next world, the punishments in the next world are much worse, the pain in the next world is much worse than this world, the Ran seems to think that that's not true, in the sense that we could just order it. In other words, if 1 hour in the next world equals 50 years of pain in this world, so it could be worked out. Okay, so instead of 50 years of pain in this world, we'll take an hour of pain in the next world. But why get it now when I can get it later? So why is it so great to get Yisurin in this world? So the Ran explains, because again, the purpose of punishment in this world is to put to help a person straighten out. So besides that they get an atonement for their sin, it also helps them see the world differently and do tshuva and reach higher levels. And this is actually what the Ran says is called Yisurin Shalava, the punishments of love. So what does that mean? The Gemara says that if a person sees punishments happening to them, they should see what avera they did wrong. And if they can't figure it out, it's not built the Torah, it's not any avera that they did, they can't figure out what did they do wrong, it could be it's Yisurin Shalaba. What does that mean, punishment of love? If a person didn't do anything wrong, why would they want to get punished? So the Ran says it's this idea. The Ran's example is if Yehoshua didn't become like Moshe, it doesn't make it a sin. But if a person has Yisurin, so even great tzaddikim, we're all human, and a person has some connection to this world, and as much as they are tzaddikim, they're held back from reaching higher spiritual levels by their physical side. So when they get punished, if things aren't going well for them physically in this world, it helps them refocus on their spirituality and reach higher levels. Okay, and this, the Ran says, is why tshuva mitoch tzara works, right? If it's the pasuk, if a person does tshuva, you know, batzar lacha, pasuk says, when things are going bad for you, and then you do tshuva, Hashem accepts that tshuva. So the Ran explains, if a person does tshuva because they see something terrible is happening to them, and they do tshuva only so that the pain should go away, the punishment should go away, that's a very low level of tshuva. But if, as the Ran explained, the punishment itself makes a person see the world differently, and that causes the person to do a true tshuva, that's when a tshuva mitoch tzara works. That's when repenting because of punishment helps. If the punishment causes you to truly change, that's when it's a accepted tshuva. And that's the way the Ran explains also what Chazal say, that Hashem accepts tshuva even when a person's right about to die. Tashiv nefesh ad daka, ad dichducha shel nefesh, that Hashem says you can do tshuva until the very last second. So the Ran says if a person's right about to die, they couldn't sin if they tried. What's tshuva worth at that point? So the Ran says the same idea. If a person undergoes suffering and that changes their heart, and they become a different person because of the suffering, then their tshuva is a full tshuva, and they can get tshuva from repentance and atonement from Hashem. Okay, again, now the Ran gets back to the original question, which is, he didn't really answer. He explained why Moshe said it's easy for you, because Ma Hashem lakech shol mimach, what does God ask from you just to be in awe of him? Still, it's relatively easy, but it's different for Moshe. Right, Moshe knew they weren't on his level, and it wouldn't be easy really for them to reach quite his level. So what does it mean, even though it's easier because they had seen, you know, the punishment that had gone around, like the Ran explained, but what does it mean when Moshe said it's no big deal? It's still a big deal to reach the highest levels. So the Ran answers that when the Gemara said Moshe, yes, for Moshe it's easy, this is what the Gemara meant. When a person reaches this high level of, like say Moshe did, a high level of spirituality, of awe of Hashem and connection to Hashem, then the work they put in seems like it was nothing. Like, famously, when Yaakov, it says by Yaakov, when he works for Rachel, that it was like only a few days of work. All the years he put in to work for Rachel was just like a few days because of his great love for her. That means to say, when you think of the prize, if the prize is really worth it, if it's super duper duper worth it, then the work you put in is relatively, almost seems like nothing. So Moshe, who had reached this high level, he was saying, what does Hashem ask from you? Just to be in awe of Hashem. When you think of the prize, the fact that you reach that high level, the work that you have to put into it is almost nothing. So that's what the Gemara meant. Yes, for Moshe, it's easy, meaning since Moshe had reached that level, he knew he had seen where he got, and he saw the work he put in was relatively small compared to what the prize was. Okay, and towards the end here, the Ran says, he's giving this Musar Shmuz to his congregants or whoever was listening to this drasha, and he said he was really afraid of two averas that were common in his time. One was that people used to swear in the name of God falsely, and one, Rahman al-San, and one was Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. So the Ran says the reason he's really afraid of these two averas that he sees are common is because there are three things that can make an avera very bad. Number one is if the avera itself is very bad. Obviously, killing, murder, the certain averas that are in and of themselves bad. The second way an avera can be bad is if you do it a million times. Even a small avera, if done over and over and over and over and over again, gets treated like a big avera. Like the man explains, like a thin rope, that if you keep adding more threads to it, eventually becomes very strong and thick. So too, someone who sins repeatedly the same small avera, it becomes like a big avera. And number three, something that makes an avera be bad is if you don't have a physical desire for it. You know, if a person sins in eating treif, at least they could say, look, I have a body, I was really hungry, it looked really good. A person had a physical desire for that sin, it's not as bad. Whereas a sin that a person doesn't have a physical desire for, it's in a sense worse because you didn't have that natural desire for it. So the Ran says, these sins of swearing falsely and baseless hatred fit all three. The sin itself is terrible, because as the Ran explains, if someone swears in the name of Hashem, it's like saying, just like Hashem is true, so too is what I'm saying is true, and therefore what? If what you're saying is false, then what? So it's a very big chil Hashem. If a person swears falsely in the name of Hashem, and also sin as chinam, Chazal tell us it's worse than all the gimel chamuros, then our gilei reish, v'chastam v'vodazar, it's worse than murder, adultery, and idol worship. So they're all bad sins. They are done, unfortunately, often, and they are not sins that a person has a physical desire for. That's why he was very nervous about that, and he was telling his community to do tshuva, and he also said, of course, any avera that a person personally has, they need to do tshuva themselves. Then the round ends off. If a person does tshuva, so there's two levels of tshuva. One level of tshuva is a person thinks in their heart, I need to do tshuva. The second one is when they actualize it. They do tshuva, they make it a reality. They don't do the avera again, or they're faced with the same avera, they don't do it again. So the Ran says, the psukim discussed that, and it says, v'shavtad Hashem lokecha, you will return, I'm sorry, first it says, v'ashivosa el v'vecha, you'll do tshuva, and then it says, v'shavtad Hashem lokecha, and you will return to Hashem, a second tshuva. And then the pasuk says, Hashem responds, V'shav l'Hashem l'kecha shvuzchav richamecha. Hashem returns your captives, and they will have mercy on you. And it also says, V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol hagoyim, and Hashem will return again and bring you back to Israel. So the Ran says those are two levels. If a person thinks they have in mind, they're going to do tshuva, so that helps a little bit. And that gets you the first level where your captors or the people who are in charge of you have rachmanis on you, have mercy on you. The second level is when you actualize your tshuva, you actually do a full tshuva, then you get the second level where Hashem actually brings in the Galut, brings the Jewish people back to Israel, and brings Mashiach, which we should all be zocha to, b'mehirah v'yameinu.